بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. The title of this talk is the fitna of takfir. Fitna of takfir, the affliction and the trial of takfir. This is one of the most dangerous fitan that is occurring in our times. This fitna of takfir. This misleading thought spread amongst many of the youth in the Muslim world, east and west, north and south. Many who are deeply involved with their emotions and with their vigilant care concerning the deen. So they took by much of that which they received from followers of desires, those who renewed the principles and thoughts of the early Khawarij, the early dissidents, and they became in our times an extension to them, leading them to make takfir of the Islamic societies at large and making takfir of all Muslim rulers without any exception, and most of people, few who would say from them, consequences are very terrible. Blood is being shed. First of all, let us define what is kufr. Linguistically, the term kufr means as-sitru wa-taghtiyah, covering and shielding. Anything that covers something, it is said that it covered it, kafarahu, and shielded it. Like it is said that the farmer, when he puts the seed and covers it with the soil, then he is a kafir from linguistic aspect. Then the farmer is a kafir from a linguistic aspect, because he covered, he shielded. As to the Islamic meaning, the technical meaning, sometimes the word kufr means the major kufr, which takes the person out of the fold of Islam, and sometimes it refers to the kufr, the lesser type, which does not take the person from the fold of Islam. And the kafir has been called a kafir. A kafir is called a kafir because he covered and shielded the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore he did not recognize the favor of Allah upon him and was not giving thanks. Rather, he denied the favor of Allah upon him. This is why the kafir is called a kafir. That's why a kafir is called a kafir. Because he covered the favor of Allah, shielded it, did not recognize the favor of Allah, rather denied and rejected the favor of Allah upon him. That's why the kafir is called a kafir. People, Ahlul Sunnah, are medium in their course regarding Islam. In all the fundamental matters of Islam, they are on a medium course between the extremes. Those who exceeded the limits, the excessive ones, and between those who are negligent. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described this in the Noble Quran by saying, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا. And thus we have made you as a just nation. A just nation. And they are, regarding this matter of takfir, they are on a medium course between extremism and between negligence. The kafir is of two types, meaning the one who is on major kufr is of two types. Kafirun asli, original kafir, like the Jews, the Christians, and the others. And anyone who doubts their kufr himself is a kafir. The second type is the obstinate, the obstate, who was born to two Muslim parents, then in the stage of adulthood, and he rejected Islam in saying or in action. These are the two types pertaining to the kafir. People split regarding this matter into three categories. First category is al-khawarij. Al-khawarij, the dissidents. Those impute kufr on the Muslims due to major sins. Some even due to minor sins. And they make permissible their blood and their wealth. And they impute kufr on anyone who is not with them. And they have extension in our lives, in our times, I mean. And they exist in many parts of the Muslim world. The second group are Al-Murji'a. This group say that Iman, that faith, is not affected at all by any sin committed. Even if the Muslim does any act of the major sins, they say he is a believer, and nothing affects his faith. And this sect, the Murji'a, itself comprises different positions, but this is the overall picture. The third is Ahlul Sunnah, and they are on a medium course between these two extremes. They don't hasten to impute kufr on the Muslim, and also they don't refrain from imputing kufr on him if the person commits that which Allah and or His Messenger declared to be kufr. However, they say, in al-Muslim, the Muslim who may say or do that which is considered kufr, it is not to rush and impute kufr on him in person until the evidence is established and his matter is cleared, and all the conditions of kufr, of takfir regarding him are fulfilled, and all the impediments are removed. And from the conditions of making takfir is knowledge, choice, intent, deliberate action or saying of that which is kufr, acceptance, meaning, does he know that this matter is kufr or not? Did he choose it? Or was he compelled? Did he choose to the kufr itself? Was he content with it? Was he deliberate on choosing it? And so forth. And from the impediments is affirmation of an error or ignorance or compulsion or misinterpretation. All of these are impediments. So Ahlul Sunnah check into all of that. They check the conditions and they check also the impediments before they indulge in imputing kufr on the person. The second important matter to remember is imputing kufr on the Muslims and decreeing that they exited the fold of Islam is a very, very, very dangerous matter. No one is to rush or indulge in this matter except those who are firmly established in knowledge and also with certain criterias. Because takfir is the right of Allah. Listen to this carefully. Takfir is the right of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thus it is established by those who are inheritors of the prophets, the ulama, firmly established in knowledge to make clear the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the ruling of His Messenger. They are the ones who are qualified. And anyone who puts himself into this, in fact he is training for himself a path, a dark path of transgression, transgressing the limits set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and claimed for himself a special right with Allah. And therefore, it is not permissible to make takfir on anyone except the one whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger declared to be as such. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, فَلِهَذَا كَانَ أَهْلُ السُّنَّةِ كَانُ أَهْلِ الْعِلْمِ كَانَ أَهْلُ الْعِلْمِ وَالسُّنَّةِ لَا يُكَفِّرُونَ مَنْ خَالَفَهُمْ. And that's why the people of knowledge and sunnah did not resort to making takfir of those who opposed them, even though the opponent makes takfir of them, because he said لِأَنَّ الْكُفْرَ حَقٌّ شَرْعِي, because the matter of kufr is a haqq shar'i, is a legal right established by sharia, and therefore the person cannot punish by the like, meaning he declares you kafir, you go and declare him kafir. Just like someone belies you and making lies against you, you go and then make lies against him. Or someone fornicates with members of your family, and even you go and fornicate with members of his family. Because he said, لأن الزنا والكذب حرام لحق الله تعالى. Because fornication and lying are haram, unlawful, being the right of Allah. And similarly he said, وكذلك التكفير, similarly التكفير is a right of Allah. So he said, فلا تكفر, don't impute كفر إلا من كفره الله ورسوله, except the one whom Allah and his messenger declared to be as such. And from the dangerous matters linked to this fitna is, number one, it involves transgression against the right of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as explained earlier. Secondly, the person who imputes kufr on the other subjects himself to fall in that which he may have accused his brother with. This is in line with the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, من قال لأخيه يا كافر فقد باء بهما أو باء بها أحدهما إن كان كما قال وإلا رجعت إليه. In the hadith reported by Bukhari and others, any person who called his brother, O unbeliever, ya kafir, has in fact done an act by which this unbelief would return to one of them. If it were so, as he asserted, then the kufr of the man was confirmed. But if it was not true, then it returned to him, meaning to the man who labeled it on the brother, the Muslim brother. And in another narration, if somebody accuses another of fusuq by calling him fasiq or a wicked person, or accuses him of kufr, of disbelief, such an accusation will revert to him. So this is very, very serious. The third matter is, this instigates hatred amongst people, especially against those whom people target as kafirs and such. Because no one really likes to be labeled as kafir. In fact, this could lead to fights and to bloodshed because of this, something which will inflict itself or inflict evil on the individuals and the society at large. Now, some of the takfir practiced in our times. Number one, takfir of the Muslim rulers, because they don't rule by the rule of Allah. This generalization, without details, have led many of the young Muslims to conclude that it is permissible to rebel against them by force. And this is what led to confrontations and bloodshed, and still going. Not only that, it's bringing chaos and instability to many of the Muslim world. And the examples are many, and they are clear for everyone. Second, due to these thoughts, the takfir did not stop at the rulers, but extended that to the government employees and to the security forces and others. Not only that, but it also reached many imams of masajid, many muazzineen, those who call adhan, and many scholars, all under the pretext, quote, that these are collaborators with the ruler, end of quote. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. It did not even stop this. It did not even stop here. Rather, the saying that the Muslim societies at large, other than the groups making the takfir, also the members of the society at large are kafirs. Those therefore who don't hold to the beliefs of these groups are considered kafirs. And we're not talking about something in vacuum. This is real. This is real. And therefore you don't wonder why they kill Muslims and bomb in places where there are many Muslims. Even to the extent that some of these groups called for the disassociation, complete disassociation from the societies, thinking that all the society is kafir, and therefore we can't stay with them, we have to disassociate ourselves from them. You know what? It even reached the degree that some of them took it upon themselves that it is important to abandon the wife if she doesn't hold to the same belief as the person holding this takfir principle. Not only that, but the wife or the woman who is married to any other Muslim, if she holds to this principle of takfir, then it is incumbent upon her to leave her husband if he doesn't agree with her. This occurred in some Muslim countries. Even to the extent that there emerged in some Muslim countries people who call Muslims not to make the congregational prayers in the mosques, because they said that these mosques are not real mosques, and that the imams of these mosques are not Muslims, because they are assigned by the government, quote, end of quote. Now, this is the matter. What's the solution? The solution is to spread the true knowledge of the righteous predecessors, al-ilm al-shara'i al-sahih, the correct knowledge of Islam. From the reliable scholars and from the books of the Salaf, and for the young people to return to the ulama seeking their advice rather than following these so-called thinkers, the publishers of these takfiri books, who are not even known for knowledge. And also, what is important is that the Muslim societies and Muslim governments as well should take the correction approach of many of the wrong things occurring in these societies. This is to be done first for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also to minimize the rebellion approach due to the existence of these wrong things. Also, there always should be hand extended to many of our youth who may have fell into this, indulging in useful
discussions concerning this matter, and also in refuting the misconceptions held by them based on evidences and proofs. And if there is anything that we need to emphasize every now and then, whether this concerning this matter or concerning the understanding of Islam as a whole, is that people should be very serious about knowing Islam. Knowing Islam from the two sources, the Quran and the way of the Prophet والسلام, in accordance with the way of the companions. This is the criteria of safety. This is the path which every Muslim should give his utmost effort to learn. This is the true safeguard mechanism for the individual and thus for the family and the society at large. And then a final note, that emotion is real, and to have vigilant care about Islam is true. And many of these people who had fell into this error of takfir was driven by ways of misguidance, as we said earlier, but also because they have of this vigilant care, and they have sincerity, and they have this emotion. But if these matters are not guided by the following, by the mutaba'ah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in accordance with the way of the Salaf, they can be a flaming fire and destructive approach. May Allah the Most High guide us, guide our Muslim youth to be on the path of righteousness and wisdom. And may Allah the Most High safeguard the Ummah from this fitna of takfir. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.